The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, if you understand Vulcan, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, we cannot believe how difficult things are. Really? God told us about this beforehand. There was never a promise that things would be simple and sweet, but there were promises that following Jesus would lead to a life that resembled the life of Jesus. Think about that for a second. Next, it's tough from time to time, but God has delivered us and will deliver us in the future. Yay, God! There are moments when we look up and say to God, "What up?" But there are also the same moments that we say, okie dokie. And finally, we review Mr. Meanie, Mr. Weenie, and Mr. Cool Dude. They are three different people with three different attitudes. Only one impresses Jesus. Which attitude will we cling to? We have a 33% chance of getting this right.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I don't know if I should share those or not. Spiritual observations. Oh, that you're going to get. My life's insanities. Noive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us. Send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org comes right here to my $1.19 Chromebook right in front of me. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call in 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call into 972-445-0770, it's like choosing the best lane in traffic and you get ahead of everybody. It's like, is that just like the greatest? Oh, I got the right one. Bye. I love that. I'm sorry. Y'all might be thinking, that's really, no. I just think it's fantastic. Yay! Come on. Bottom, great. Isn't that great though? Right? Just hit the right, I'm going to go into this lane.
And like, just zoom off.
Bottom zoom. See ya. It's like fantastic. Here's the deal. It can be a question you might have. It might be a spiritual testimony that the Lord is working in your life. You got some questions on it, you want to just share. It could be Bible trivia. It could be a prayer request. We call them praise reports too. You can be a praise report. It can be any of that. We just want you to be able to reach out and feel comfortable enough to do it where you don't think we're going to make fun of you too much.
only a little.
No, I'm kidding. All right. This should be rather easy, and we've done this before. Who cast down his rod before Pharaoh? And the rod became a serpent. Now, before you answer that, think. Who did that? Think. Because there's two major players there, and usually the people pick the wrong one. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I did mention to you before about Easton Scott in the hospital. I will give you updates as soon as I have them, but I don't have any current updates. But I will be forwarding to them to everybody so we can keep in prayer. If you ever go on Facebook, if you're a Facebook person, it's Julianne Schiller, or Julie Schiller is her name, so it gives you a chance to see what's going on. So, champion in faith, that girl is, and we're very, very proud of her. All right, what else am I supposed to cover? Website? Website. Don't forget our website, because we need you to not forget our website. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so here's something I want people to do. You're trying to figure out, where is that text that you're talking about in regards to the rod being tossed down before Pharaoh? Exodus 7. Exodus 7. Who tossed that rod? And that's the simple question. And we might even have a controversial answer. We'll have to wait and see. But we like that. That's fun. All right. Anything else? We got that? Hold on. I'm marking this off on my piece of paper. Got that. Got that. Okay. There you go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy is loaded with really good stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. So one of the things you'll hear on this show is, we do believe that God answers prayer. We do believe that God does miraculous things. We do believe that God is gracious, intervenes on our behalf, and does powerful stuff on a regular basis. But we're not into a prosperity mindset that says everybody should be a multimillionaire, because that really bodes very poorly for 3/4 of Christians worldwide. Just doesn't really make sense. In fact, God has chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and that's much more important than gold and silver. So we don't really kind of buy into that part of things. And we really don't buy into, if you follow God, everything will be perfect all the time and there'll never be a problem. Jesus Christ becoming fully man and being fully God, born of the Holy Spirit and born of Mary, completed and manifested the will and the plan of God, and that involved crucifixion. So before everybody gets on their high horse, pull it back a notch. Everybody calm down. But reality check is, though, even if you go through a lot of tough stuff, and we do, God is there with us. A lot of people like the idea of just flying away, right? Even King David said in Psalm 55, oh, that I had wings and I could just fly away. It's like, look, not the only person that thinks that, right? But tough times happen, and they happen more often in the last times. And I don't know if you've been looking around at the news or some of the internet stuff or some of the magazines or some of the speech that takes place at church when they're not talking from the pulpit. There's a lot of tough stuff going on right now. But the principle here is not, well, you get to avoid it or you don't get to avoid it or any of that. The principle is that we need to realize that in the last days, tough things happen, difficult times happen, so we need to be prepared. King David took how many stones when he went to fight Goliath? 5 smooth stones. You think, well, that's because he had 4 brothers. That's because he was prepared. And we need to be prepared. And so what principles do we need to be prepared in? I mean, well, how do we need to operate? Well, we know the 3 greatest principles are defined in Scripture, you know, faith, hope, and love. And we need to be prepared in that. It's important for us to understand that our faith and confidence in God, that's what gets us through. God uses that to make the pathway more towards his design. He makes it so that when we're out of sync, it gets us back into sync. He's chosen the vehicle of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. God has chosen the vehicle of faith by which we operate with God, by which we receive grace, and by which we do things that God is impressed or pleased with, especially in our example of Abraham, who believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Means faith means it's an act of faith believing that God has your best interests in mind, no matter what your brain tries to interpret. It's terrible to say that. What do you mean, no matter what my brain tries to interpret? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just got to answer that one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So faith is a big principle that we need to operate as things get tougher and it gets more difficult. And it's not just about faith, and also hope. Hope says it is getting better. Now, we know it's ultimately going to get better eternal-wise, but even in your circumstance and in your situation, it will get better because God is able to bring it that direction. So it's really important that we have faith, because faith bleeds into hope. And both of those, in order for us to reflect Jesus Christ, need to certainly be covered in love. I mean, Jesus said it clearly, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Love is a key component. It's another element. You love God when you trust him. How about that? You show you have confidence in what he's going to do. That's love. And we don't even have time to go into all of them. I mean, you could talk about grace and mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. It's getting something you can never earn. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve to get, which is judgment. I mean, there's so many different principles. The primary idea behind this is that difficult times are coming. Difficult times are here. We need to be prepared. You can just start with faith, hope, and love and stand in those until the Lord comes back. You'd be just fine just to do that. Plus grace, plus mercy. We're not even talking about truth. That's a whole separate. I'm just trying to give you plenty of preparation. Okay? All right. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, was Aaron. Aaron is the one who threw down the little stick thing. That's all we had to say on that one. We're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't, I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding
of his depth of love.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to give good clarification for our trivia questions. Always want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on so they don't think anything weird's going on. So in Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, it says, so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians in Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. God always gets the last word. In case you missed that, right? See? Mine ate yours, okay? All right, simpler trivia question. Let's see if we can nail this down. The longest psalm in the Bible is which one? If you think you know the answer, call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. The longest psalm in the Bible. Most of you know there's 150 of them, so that ought to help you. You should be able to get that. I do have a joke. Do you want to do the joke now? It's a kind of a businessy Christian joke, but it's still got humor. You know, is that you ready for
it? All right, let's hear it.
All right, let's... I'm already telling you, I'm just trying to get at least to crickets. Yeah, we'll see what happens. A businessman was in a great deal of trouble. His business was failing, and he had put everything he had into the business. He owed everybody. It was so bad, he even contemplated just giving up altogether and running away. At the last resort, he went to the pastor and poured out his story of tears and woe. When he finished, the pastor said, here's what I want you to do. Put a beach chair and your Bible in your car and drive down to the beach. Take the beach chair and the Bible to the water's edge. Sit down in the beach chair. Put your Bible in your lap. Open the Bible. The wind will rifle through the pages. But finally, the open Bible will come to rest on a page. Look down at that page. Read the first thing you see. That will be your answer. That will tell you what you want to do. A year later, the businessman went back to the pastor and brought his wife and children with him. The man was in a new custom-tailored suit, his wife in a mink coat, the children shining. The businessman pulled an envelope stuffed with money out of his pocket and gave it to the pastor as a donation in thanks for his advice. The pastor recognized him and said, you did as I suggested? Absolutely, replied the businessman. You went to the beach? Absolutely. You sat in a beach chair with the Bible in your lap? Absolutely. You let the pages rifle until they stopped? Absolutely. And what were the first words that you saw? Chapter 11. See, that's chapter 11. It's a little funny. Chapter 11. All right. Well, for those that like business, it's kind of funny. That's all I'm going to say. Are we ready? What have we not done? We did the website before. We just did the joke. Trivia question. What's the longest psalm? 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, which, by the way, in the original Hebrew means praise. The original Hebrew does, but we call it Song of Songs or Song. Sorry, Psalms with song is really what it is, how it's defined. It's just poetry set to music is what it is. If you think you know, by the way, which is the longest of these, the Psalms, you can call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Here we go. 2 Timothy. Again, a little bit of a 2 Timothy kick of late. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul is communicating, and he brings up this very important fact that in human relationship, I'm not sure if you've ever noticed this or not, but whether you're a mother or a father, a grandparent or a grandmother, grandfather, grandmother, whether you have children or cousins or nieces or nephews, brothers or sisters, or even just friends or whatever the case may be, people can desert you. It happens. And Paul goes, in my first offense, nobody supported me. How lonely is that, right? I kind of felt like I was all alone. They all deserted me. And what he doesn't say next is, I wish the ground would open up and swallow them whole. He doesn't say that. He says, may it not be counted against them. No, Lord, don't charge them with that. Don't be mad at them. We're all bad. And then he says this, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. This is about him promoting the gospel. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Some people think this had to do with him facing death and facing the Roman emperor. That may be correct. The bottom line is Paul was recounting how, in truth, God has delivered him in the past. And that's a big part of this text, is for you and I to catch hold of this. Sometimes people can let you down. It's not intentional. I mean, sometimes people do the wrong things or say the wrong things. There was an article about somebody who was supposed to be really big in Christianity, and they've abandoned the faith. That person let people down who was following that person. Now, fortunately for me, I'd never heard of the person, so I didn't care. But I'm just saying, it's like, that's how powerful or popular it was. Anyway, so bottom line, though, is that, look, people let you down. People blow it. Sinful man guiding sinful man usually creates sinfulness. That's not hard to figure out. That's why in your church, not every church decision is the best decision. Not every church decision is the perfect decision. It's all of us doing the best we can before the Lord. But Paul says something amazing. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. What he can recall are how many times God had delivered him. And that, I think, is what gets missed in Christianity. One, because we don't ever do any journaling or prayer record keeping or anything like that. But think of how many times God has delivered you from a situation that you thought, there's just no way I can get out of this. And yet God, in his great mercy and his great wisdom, got you out. That he delivered you from the situation. You're thinking, I just don't understand. If I was God, I would have done it this way. Or if I was God, I would have done it in this timing or in this methodology. Well, that's the whole point. You're not God, and that's why you trust him. But Paul leans on the past of God's accomplishment. He doesn't live in the past. He just recognizes God has done great things for me in the past. And that leads him to this conclusion. I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. He recognizes that God has given him deliverance in the past, and because of that, he's counting on that same faithfulness of God to give him deliverance in the future. And a great way for you to understand whether or not you're kind of operating in the rightness of all of it, and the right principle, is when you look back at the things that God has done, is there a bitter twinge in your voice saying, should have done it this way, should have been this way? Or do you recognize that God has actually brought you through the best possible way he could bring you through for you, and he's making that same commitment for that which lies ahead? Because God is going to take care of you. And Paul, without reservation, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Paul is not just saying he's going to get me out of every circumstance. Paul is saying he's going to get me out of every circumstance until I land on streets with gold. That's just going to keep going. And what's the result of seeing that God has done great things, believing that God will continue to do great things? To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise. Praise and honor and glory. Because God has done it, that's cool. God will do it, that's cool. And he'll never stop doing it, until you're dancing on streets of gold, and that's enough to sing thank you. That's enough to say thank you. So whatever you're going through, I'm not minimizing it, and I don't want you to think I am. I don't think like what my daughter's going through right now, I don't minimize it. It could turn out to be super great, could turn out to be super bad, whatever the case may be. God will not stop being faithful to her and get her through to the next place. And that's why she can raise a hallelujah. That's why she can say thank you. Because you've been faithful in the past, you're going to be faithful in this, you're going to be faithful in the future, and I can count on you. I offer up praise from my heart. And I thank you for it. Now, as a grandpa, do I want God to do it different? Well, of course, but God doesn't need my permission or my wisdom, does he? Not anybody needs my permission or my wisdom, that's for sure. My point is that's the confidence that we have. He's taken care of us before. He'll take care of us right now. He'll take care of us in the future until we're done and we don't have to worry about getting taken care of. Right? All right. I think that's really cool. It's a great portion. I want to do the trivia answer, right? So we got trivia. What is the longest psalm? You ready for the longest psalm? The longest psalm is Psalm 119. Is the longest psalm. Fascinating, fascinating, wonderful, wonderful psalm. Just when people say read a psalm a day, they don't typically read that one because it's like five pages. So it takes a little bit to do that. All right, so we're going to come back, and then I'm going to give you a teaching that I taught in a elementary school, but it is far superior than most normal teachings take place even at college levels. You'll enjoy it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for our next trivia question. What was the name of Aquila's wife? This will be in the book of Acts. What was the name of Aquila's wife? I could give you such a good hint that you would get it, but I just can't. I just can't. It's too much. What was the name of Aquila's wife? This is going to be found in the later teens in the book of Acts. I guess the only hint that's really worthwhile to say is you might consider briefly, humorously, maybe Elvis Presley. Okay, there you go. That's one way to do it, right? That kind of gives people something right there. Okay. I try my best. You can call in if you have the answer, 972-445-0770. What was the name of Aquila's wife? Or you can text in 214-210-8483. What was the name of Aquila's wife? Pretty straightforward. If you think you know, great job. If not, we'll tell you towards the end. Let's do, we got history to do, plus the websites. Let's do the website real quickly. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we got somebody calling in on the answer. Nope, and now they're not calling in. They were calling in. I don't know why. They're calling back in again. It's up and down and up and down. After that, we'll do history, and then I'm going to share a teaching with you, which some of you, you can't get offended on stuff like this. It's just one of those things you got to go, that's funny. But it helps people remember, and it's one of those things that I think is really important. But the bottom line teaching, I think, is really solid. So that's important stuff there. All right, so we'll get ready to do history. We'll do the trivia answer, which is coming up right here. And by the way, for those that don't know, that was at Acts chapter 18, verse 2. Getting ready. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Cordelius and Joy.
Hi, you guys. Hi. How's it going? Hey, that's always great to hear your guys' voice. Of course, I'm very proud of you for calling in. That's a good job.
Now,
what was the name of Aquila's wife?
Priscilla.
That is correct. You got to like a little bit that I gave you an Elvis Presley hint.
Okay, yeah. Well, I already knew it. I already knew it.
Good job. Excellent work. Thank you so much. That's solid. Rock solid. Excellent work.
Okay.
All right.
And thank you. Thank you for praying for my back, because my back's a lot better. I don't have any more pain, and I'm able to work again.
Well, that's when you get the people of God praying and believing. God does wonderful things, so we're glad to hear your back is feeling better.
Yes, he's so wonderful. He's been so good to us. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, David. God bless you.
God bless you both. Love you guys.
Bye.
I probably gave a little too much on that Elvis Presley because Priscilla. History? Ready for history? Let's do history.
Okay. Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Nice job by the ladies. Very good. Cordelius, stepping up. Very, very good. Okay, today is grilled cheese sandwich day. Okay, how are we feeling?
Bacon in there and I'll eat it.
Oh, there you go. It's got to have the bacon in for the grilled cheese. Wow. Wow. This is drop everything and read day. So I've modified it to drop everything and read your Bible day. Okay, of course I'm going to do that. It is also National Licorice Day. Like licorice? Big fan? Little fan?
Kind of. It'll get eight, so yeah. That's the best.
I mean, if it's there, right? If it's there, then it's like, okay. And then it's Big Wind Day. I don't know. This day just blows me away. Big Wind Day. I don't know what that means. Who comes up with this stuff? It's Big Wind Day. Okay, sure. 1954, on this day, Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets record the rock and roll classic. It was on the B-side of the song they were trying to get as the main side, the 13 Women. So back in the day, they'd have 45, and then on one side of it would be a B-song that nobody cared about. And the other one was like the main song they were pushing, and many, many times the B-song was better. It's just one of those weird, wow, it's kind of weird. 1955, the polio vaccine was developed by Dr. Jonas Salk and is declared safe and effective. And last but not least, 1961 on this day, the first man in space, Yuri Gagarin, orbits the Earth above the Soviet Vostok 1, orbited the Earth for 108 minutes. Wow. Okay. That's, what do you do? Ready? Are we done with that? This is okay. Remember, you have to love me, whether I'm your brother or whether some of you consider me an enemy. Hey, you gotta love your enemies too. Ah, there we go. I actually taught this in a school. Believe it or not, I taught this in school. Luke chapter 10, verse 29 through 37. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, you're supposed to love your neighbor. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down to Jerusalem. To Jericho. He fell among robbers, and they stripped and beat him. And they went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place they saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn to take care of him. The next day he gave out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you.' Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And the guy said, "The one who showed mercy towards him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Okay. So when I taught this in a school of youngsters, we defined the three people as Mr. Meanie, Mr. Weenie, and Mr. Cool Dude. So Mr. Meanie is the priest that saw the situation, walked on the other side, didn't want to get involved. Mr. Weenie is the guy that saw the situation, looked at it, walked on the other side, didn't want to get involved. And Mr. Cool Dude is the guy that said, "No, we got to help. We got to do something about this." So there's two things I want to say, and you'll fully understand when I get there. There are about 85% of the teachers who teach this story, and they use the same commentary. It's amazing when they do this because you can always tell what's being said. They were all saying, "Oh, Jesus is referring to a street that is way too dangerous to travel on, and so that's what he's talking about." The problem with that is that Jesus told the story, and it seems like everybody was traveling on that street. So that's just a dumb analogy. That's kind of like commentary that means nothing. But the big thing is, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said this in the text in verse 34. It says, and he came upon him, in verse 33, sorry, but a Samaritan who was journeying came upon him. The key to understanding who your neighbor is simplistic. Your neighbor is anyone that God brings into your universe, period. You know that guy on an island next to Gilligan and the skipper who had the coconut fall on his head that you've never heard of, you've never seen, you don't know, you have no contact with, no email or nothing? That's not your neighbor. Your neighbor is the person that God brings into your universe. Your neighbor is anyone that in your sphere of existence God brings in. That is now your neighbor. And so what happens is people say, "Well, you're supposed to be a neighbor to everybody." Well, everybody that God brings into your universe, you're right. You have to be a neighbor to them. But you got to define that or separate that. Because just to be honest, if you go to Russia, to 3rd Street, to 2nd Avenue, to the 6th house in the 7th apartment, you don't know who they're talking about. But if that person came walking into your life, that would be your neighbor.
That's how Jesus defined it. And what he's telling us is, look, anybody that God brings into your universe, that counts. And we often miss that point. And it's an important point because God brings people into your universe for a reason. You would never think there was a reason. Certainly the priest didn't think there was a reason. The Levite didn't think there was a reason. And in the story, the Samaritan turns out to be the good one. And the Samaritan, Mr. Cool Dude, he's the one that they all despise. Jesus is like, that's the only guy that knows what a neighbor is. Everybody else is using, you know, legalistic terms. Like, look, whatever, wherever you are, whoever God brings into your life, that is your neighbor. That's the intent of God. That's what God orchestrated. And so we don't want to be a Mr. Meanie, which is seeing the situation and trying to ignore it. We don't want to be a Mr. Weenie and then just trying to go to the other side and not look at anything. We want to be like Mr. Cool Dude or Mr. Cool Dad, Mrs. Cool Dad. Either way, when you come upon somebody and you know they're in need of compassion, that's what he's talking about. Love them. Because when we do that, we reflect Jesus Christ. And when we reflect Jesus Christ, we bring glory to God. And when we bring glory to God, we get in sync with the purpose of our existence. No. That like sounds like it's all put together. Yeah, amazing though, isn't it? Isn't that amazing how it's all put together? It is kind of fascinating. So you don't want to be Mr. Weenie. You don't want to be a Mr. Meanie. You want to be Mr. Cool Dude. And if you come upon somebody in your journey of life, that is your neighbor. And God brought them into your universe for a reason. And you need to be sensitive to the Lord and be willing to share and take care of them because that is exactly what God is asking us to do, period. All right. All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been
The David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes. Because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes. So that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. No, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I love being in Texas.
I love being in Texas.
Okay.
That's not really a song. I don't think it's one that we can make a song either. But that's not the point.
Here we go with our trivia question. Now, I referred to this earlier in the show. It might have been in the first 30 minutes, but I kind of already gave this answer. But let's see if somebody can remember it. God opened the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey spoke to... Who did the donkey speak to? Try not to think of Shrek, even though I always think of that, right?
I was thinking that.
You can't. It's so hard not to, right? When he sings that song, it's so funny. Anyway, think about the donkey. Okay, and then who do you speak to? All right, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the number to call in. Plus, you can text in 214-210-8483. Plus, you can also email David at hemustincrease.org. Normally, Monday shows are a little tougher to get it going. This was a great show. I love shows like today. I mean, I have more fun. But I think it's because of the diversity of teaching. You know, you just teach all this different stuff, and I don't know. And I haven't done the Mr. Meanie, Mr. Weenie, or Cool Dude in a long time, so I kind of like that one. People are like, can you say that? Uh-huh. Yes, I can. All right, so we got somebody calling in. Here we go. So I'm going to lean over. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Will Rogers.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I hope you're better.
I appreciate that so much. Excellent statement, by the way. That's really good. I like that. All right, God opened the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey spoke to?
Balaam.
That is correct. 100% correct. If you ever want to have a good time or a good laugh, you just go into that text and look at, and the donkey talks to him, and then Balaam gets mad, and then the donkey talks to him again. He gets mad, and before he realizes the donkey is talking, he's gotten into an argument with the donkey. It's just like, dude, you're arguing with a donkey. Do you know that or what? It's just like, that's a classic.
Well, it just goes to show which one's just as smart.
Exactly. Exactly. When people say, oh, I'm really great, I can do this and speak for God, it's like,
No.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look at this guy. This guy spoke for God, and he was a donkey. Excellent job. Excellent, excellent work, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. God bless. All right. There we go. A lot of good responses. All right. So, did I forget anything? I think we've covered everything, right? Okay, we've covered everything. I have to check with T. I can't believe we almost had to take Bart to the hospital. And his first weekend, Noel was kind of tearing up. It was just, like, terrible. It was like, It was, because she's so sensitive. She's, like, nice. All right, let's move on. This is a prayer like Jesus said to pray. Luke chapter 1, verse 9. It happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. Good. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day. How often? Each day, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. All right, let me just say something real quickly before we get into the rest of this. This is a model, okay? The model that Jesus gives is identifying who you're praying to, honor to who you're praying to, submission, provision, forgiveness received and given, and then help with spiritual warfare. Now listen to what I said, because it's a model. It's the expositing on the model that Jesus just illustrated in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, is identifying who's being prayed to,
honor, so it's identifying the Father, honor to the Father, hallowed be your name, submission, your kingdom come, provision, give us today our daily bread, forgiveness, forgive our sins as we forgive others, so forgiveness is received and given, and then lead us not into temptation, which is help with spiritual warfare. Okay. All right, that's a solid model. You don't have to pray that exact terminology, but that's the methodology that Jesus showed. Now, he wants to throw in a caveat. I don't know why caveat sounds like caviar, but it does. Verse 5, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has just come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, don't bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And one of the great things about this is just when you get into the expository on the madness of it all, the word persistent there's a sub word in the word persistence that means annoy. You listen to this show, I annoy you all the time. Sometimes when you pray, you got to annoy God. It's not that God's up there going, oh, this is annoying. He loves to be engaging. He loves to engage with his kids. He loves hanging and spending time. It's not that he doesn't know. He just likes the connection. And so Jesus gives you this basic model. You know, you identify who you're praying to. You honor. You yield submission. You ask for provision. Ask for forgiveness, received and given, and then help with spiritual warfare. And then he adds this to it. By the way, be annoying. We might say it a little different, but by the way, you just keep going. And then he tells a story about a friend, and the friend's like, I know we're friends, but I'm in bed. I'm tired. I don't want to get up. Leave me alone. But that's not why the guy got up and did it. Not because they're friends, but because he was persistent. Kept knocking. Just think about your house door right now. Just listen. It's one thing to hear this, because that's knocking. And that's fine. But if you hear this, eventually you're getting up and answering the door. You can't get away from it. It's like, that's enough of that. I don't want to hear that anymore. Right. That's what Jesus tells us to do in pursuing God. Knock, knock, knock. Right? And he even says, ask and it will be given. You seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. The ask, the seek, and the knock are all perfect present tense, continual action thereof. You do it until you get it. And again, it's not because you're going to outwit God. I'm going to ask him so much. It's that you're pursuing God with faith and trust and confidence, and he loves to be pursued. And he won't do it just because he's your dad. He does do things because he's your dad. But in this case, he's telling you, come after me. Follow me. Come on, be persistent. And so John taught the disciples to pray. And his disciples learn to pray, but Jesus teaches it with the caveat. Yeah, except be ever diligent to keep doing it. Remember the King James? He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh. He that knocketh. That's like the action that it keeps going. And so you come before the Lord, and you honor. You acknowledge the Father. Honor to his name. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. That's what hallowed really is. Your kingdom come. The easiest way to say it is we want your will done, not ours. We're not smart enough to have our will done. Let's have your will done. That's what we want. And give us each day our daily bread. We talk about that in our DNA. We have tea. Talk about that on a regular basis. You know, how often you draw closer to the Lord daily. You ask for daily bread, right? Not for weekly or monthly. And forgive us our sins, we forgive those who have debts against us. Forgiveness is receiving and giving, receiving and giving. Continuous. And lead us not in temptation. Temptation, why? Because temptation is bad for us. It leads us to bad places. It doesn't help us. In fact, it's funny because rarely does it get taught. I mean, we want the Lord to protect us, to put a bubble around us, right? Now, the Lord will test you, but that temptation comes from that part of your flesh that's resistant to God. It's like, Lord, get us away from that. People make a big deal on that theology, but I think it's really nice to say to the Lord, keep me away from the stuff I know will ruin me. That seems right. I mean, that seems like the right way to do it. And then he says, by the way, be annoying. I don't know if he had the same Jewish, I mean, he didn't have the same Jewish mom I had, but that's what I said. Be annoying. Be persistent. Be just continual. Keep on asking. Look at what he said. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That's how you push through, right? That's just one of those wonderful prayer elements. And you can pray to the Lord and say, oh, I'm going to stop my prayer now, but tomorrow I'm going to pick it back up again. It's like, okay, because I'm just going to keep praying until I feel like we've reached the place. That's what you got to do. Okay, two things to tell you as we're winding it down. I've got a minute left. We already did the trivia. All that stuff's good. We're doing the Nehemiah Ezra thing. I am doing my main study in Ezra right now. It is absolutely lights out fantastic. It's so cool. There's so much cool stuff in there. I'm amazed. And I've already marked up a different Bible, like 100 different marks in the first three chapters. So we're going to get into that. We're going to go into the background either this week or next week. We'll go in the background. I just haven't decided whether I should teach it at the 2 o'clock hour or the 1:30 hour, so I'm still trying to work that out. So you guys can pray for me, and then just pray that everything go well for my buddy Easton Scott, okay? You just keep pursuing and keep persistently praying. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.